the South Burbs Hitmen Podcast with your hosts, Joe Mandel, Steven Zim Zimmerman, and Vinny Parisi. We're bringing you the White Sox coverage you need from the perspective of true Southsiders. Grab your Comiskey dog with an ice cold beer and meet us in Section 155. Everyone get on your feet for your South Burbs Hitmen.
That ball hit deep. Way back. You can put it on the board. Yes. Jimenez in the air. Left field. He's your hero tonight. Thanks, Cubs.
Over the head of Jenks. Uribe charges close. Out. And the White Sox have won the World Series.
Alexei. Yes. Yes. Yes! 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 History! A perfect game by Mark Burley, and what an unbelievable play by 21.
First pitch starts now.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome to another amazing edition of South Burbs Hitmen. I'm one of your hosts, Joe Mandel. I'm joined, as always, by my White Sox brother-in-arms. I'm talking about Vinny Parisi, and Steven Zimmerman is under the weather today. But aren't we all, Vin? We're all under the weather with this White Sox team. Isn't that the case?
It is the case. This team stinks. It's the worst team in the league. It's the worst White Sox team of all time.
The worst start in franchise history.
Worst start in franchise history. The 2003 Detroit Tigers were so bad that people still make fun of them in movies to this day. You might remember in, if you're a nerd and you've seen Spider-Man No Way Home, in the multiverse, they crack a joke about the 2003 Detroit Tigers. Someone, because in that universe, they were real good. The guy on the street was talking about how the Detroit Tigers were looking good for the playoffs this year or something like that. And if you're a baseball fan, you understand the joke being made there. The Detroit Tigers were so bad that it would take another universe for them to be any good in 2003. That's going to be the joke about the White Sox here in 2024, when, you know, Avengers number 20 comes out and they're making fun of 20 years prior, they're going to talk about this White Sox team and make fun of them for eons, because brutal. I legitimately think they are going to be that bad. They are averaging one win out of every 10. I would like my flowers for being the only one to predict the under on the win and a half last week.
We were this close, Finn. Those games against the Reds, that bullpen blew it.
100%. And the one win they had, Joe, they won five. They were leading 5-0. The Guardians came all the way back, and then the White Sox still found a way to win. That's like what a good team does. But the fact that was their second win of the season is just putrid. Putrid is a good word for this team.
Yeah, it feels like the longest 2.5 weeks ever. Is the season going to feel like that, Vin? I think it is.
Yeah, I honestly, my goal now is to watch them be like that bad. I want them to be historically bad, just not normal bad.
Yeah, well, I think it's appropriate that this episode is called Pain, because it's been very, very painful to watch this team. I don't know if... And the funny thing is, the first week of the season, Zim and I talked about how, like, oh, they were playing competitive baseball. And then if they've fallen off this hard in a week and a half.
Yeah, they can't score. They're dead last in runs scored. Did they end up putting up a run tonight? I don't believe they did.
No. They're down to their last out.
Yeah, and that's another game with no runs.
I will say, though,
puke.
Nastrini was excellent in his debut.
Oh, yeah, which is nice.
He went 5. He gave up 2 earned runs. He did walk 2, but he struck out 5. One of those was a home run. 3 hits. Again, for a debut, did more than enough to win.
Yep, nothing to complain about there. He just pitches in front of the worst offense in Major League history.
Boyd Bin, that's all solved now because Eloy got taken off the IL today.
Correct. Did he play?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the White Sox. That is the White Sox for you. It's just
disgusting. Oh, wait, he's pinch hitting.
Oh, they're going to give him the final at bat of the
– Here he goes. It off. Sheets got on base, and they brought Eloy on as a pinch hitter.
Yeah. Nasty.
We all know how this game's going to end.
I when I say I have no hope for this team, like 40 wins would seem crazy. I just don't see it. I don't see it at all. It's Vin, sad.
I said 120 losses last week. Like part of that was me being like filled with pain and anger, but I legit think that is the case now.
Yeah, I do too. I do believe that things regress to the mean, meaning positive regression can exist, but I am not sure that it's going to be notable. I'm not sure they'll like positively regress to 60 wins or even 50 wins. Right now, they're the worst team in the league, and it's not close. I feel bad because there are going to be people out there that spend their hard-earned money on a White Sox-A's game in Oakland. Honestly think that is going to be one of the most pathetic-looking baseball games of all time.
Will there be anyone there? A's. Edmonds be.
I mean, they're averaging – I think they were in like the 6,000s or 7,000s when the Reds were in town. So and that's like their high end.
And an unrelated note, Vin, they two pitches to Eloy and two sliders, and it's 0-2.
Nice.
Two sliders low.
Love that for him.
So that, ooh, he laid off the curveball. Wow. That's usually a strikeout pitch for Eloy.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to see three straight junk pitches, and
he's
then we'll
still
going to
strike out on a slider in the dirt coming up now. You could book it.
Yeah, almost a guarantee. I mean, this is just... We're going to say it every week. It's the worst team in the history of the franchise. They don't care about winning. Up top, oh, I do believe the players
who called
do.
It, Vin? Who called it? Strikeout, slider in the dirt.
Love that. I'm rooting for them to lose a lot of the time, I think.
2-0 final. Your White Sox have lost.
Love that.
2-14? 14.
Yeah. It's crazy. Just absolutely nuts.
It's like we're spending the whole season in an outhouse and we just can't stop chugging the Miralax.
Yeah. Yep.
That might be the worst thing I've ever said on air, but there it is.
I mean,
it's a metaphor, Vin.
The team's pathetic. The team is absolutely pathetic. It's like, how are they not embarrassed, though? That's the only thing I don't understand. Like, I honestly believe Chris Getz is trying, right? I honestly believe that the players are trying. They want to win. They want to have jobs in Major League Baseball. But there are certain people within the organization that just don't care about winning. It's the people that matter the most in terms of resources given and stuff like that. Any team in the league that thinks they got a problems, look no further than the Chicago White Sox. They might be up there in sports when I think of the worst ran, the worst...
Oh, yeah.
Like what they have, their worst on-field product right now or on-ice product, or depending on whatever sport you're talking about. I mean, it is just, it is nasty.
There's a lot of bad things, Vin. Can we talk about how bad Jake Eater is and how good Jake Berger is? And Jake Berger's on the IL, obviously, with an oblique strain. But nonetheless, that trade looks worse every day.
Yep, it looks worse and worse every day. Berger's a star. He's one of the better offensive players in Miami's lineup when he's healthy. They're off to a brutal start too. They only have one more win. They're the second worst team in the league right now based on record, but I see them kind of turning it around a little bit. I don't necessarily know about being a playoff team after a dreadful start like this. They say you can't make the playoffs in April. You can kind of miss the playoffs.
You cannot make the playoffs
in April. Yeah. So I don't know. I think they don't care, and it's making it hard for us to care, even though we have to care. We got to do this show and do it well, so we have to know what we're talking about. But like, you traded Jake Berger for Jake Eater. He was supposed to be this real good product or prospect, and Berger is, it's not like even Berger's young. It doesn't make sense in any way to move a guy like that when you're quote unquote rebuilding.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest. I'm sure Jake's happy, but although I guess it doesn't really matter. His team's not that much better right now, but their situation, though, he gets to play every day, so.
Yeah, which he wasn't doing in Chicago. I mean, I just can't believe.
You would hope he'd be playing every day now, but
who knows? It's honestly not even a guarantee if Moncada's healthy, even though Berger's way better than Moncada, at least at hitting. I know Jake Berger's fielding is suspect here and there, but, like, we all have DHs in every league now. Yeah. Like, I don't want to hear it about Jake Berger's defense anymore. It was just absolutely terrible.
And Vin, you wrote an article today about the manager of the White Sox and some interesting thoughts. So what better way to dive into our chat about that article than to jump into this week's edition of Pedro's Poopy Pen. Yeah, I just made that up. It was probably not my best improv, but we'll go with it.
Pedro Grifol is probably the worst manager in the MLB.
Oh, I don't think it's particularly close. I agree.
He is terrible. I didn't think Tony La Russa was the right fit for this franchise at the stage that he was at and the stage that they were at in 2020. I stand by that. I still to this day believe it was a not great hire.
But nobody ever said on this show that Tony La Russa is not a good manager.
No. No. I think he's past his prime.
Of course.
But he's probably in the conversation for greatest manager who ever lived. He's second all time in wins, and the guy who's in first is under 500.
Dude's in top three for sure.
Yeah. He was wonderful. He won three World Series. Like, there's no questioning Tony La Russa's greatness all time. I didn't think he was a good fit for the White Sox when they hired him. I really didn't till the day he left. And I wouldn't think he would be a good one right now. Unless it was over Pedro Grifol, I'd take him back in a heartbeat. I would take him back in a heartbeat. If that makes me wrong about Tony La Russa, then hand up, I was wrong. But I don't think I was wrong that I would rather have had 100 other people. But if Pedro Grifol is the alternative, yeah, give me Tony La Russa any day of the week. I cannot believe they hired somebody that was managing the ball club worse than he was.
And worse than he was doing last year.
Yeah, which was pathetic. And I hate the way he talks to the media, you know, his little acronyms and, you know, all the things he says about the team and what they want to build. Like, dude, you are not fooling anybody. You are not fooling anybody. So what,
you mean you don't believe him?
No. Yeah. Yeah, of course not.
Are you sure?
I think he's a moron. You touched on the article I wrote. I would not fire him right now. I don't think there's a point. I don't think there's a point on putting that on somebody else as a manager, on putting it on the players. And you know what? To be frank, putting it on Grifol, it's not his fault he sucks at managing. He just does. He didn't offer himself the contract. He didn't, you know, say no to all that money. No one would blame him for taking the job. We all would take it too, even if we knew we were going to stink. And we would all try to be really good at it.
Well, he tried, all right.
Yeah, he tried. He didn't succeed, but I just don't think it's fair to fire him because I don't blame him for the roster being what it is. It's not his fault that they're not a winning team. Is it his fault that they're one of the worst teams of all time? Yeah, it is partially his fault. But like the talent level on the team, they're in fifth in their division on paper, and they're in 10th in their division out of five teams on the field. So
how is this locker room not more vocal besides Garrett Crochet, who said we need to look in the mirror. And this was last week. I'm waiting for someone to say something this week. Someone's got to light a fire, man. These guys are just sitting there talking to the media. Like they broke the vase in the living room when they were a kid, you know.
They don't have the fire, the passion, and that does fall on Grifol. They don't 100%. Have any. They don't have leaders on the team. Garrett Crochet, I still stand by what I said, and you know, Zim pointed out that it's probably more of a, you know, an issue with the league than anything else that it's this way. But starting pitchers, sure, they're not leaders in the franchise anymore. It vocally, can't be. They play once every 5 days, and It's just the way baseball is now. You need position players to be leaders. Jose Abreu, Tim Anderson, in their prime, they were good. And, you know, without guys like that being on the team, they have nothing. And the best players on the team are jokes, right? Like Moncada, always hurt. Robert, always hurt. Jimenez, always hurt.
Since our last show, Moncada's out 3 to 6 months.
Yeah. And Eloy came back from injury today. He swung and missed on 3 breaking balls, missed all 3. And then, is the final out of the game. He'll be hurt in a week or two.
Slider. Both. One was a called strike. One was a swinging strike. Curveball take, low in the dirt. Slider in the dirt, strikeout.
It's unreal. He sucks. Yeah, he's terrible. He's probably... I don't know who's a more disappointing prospect all time, him or Moncada.
Oh, it's Moncada for me. It's not close.
Because at least, you're right, because at least Eloy, he had a couple moments where he was funny. He had a 31 home run season. He was really good in the COVID year with the Silver Slugger Award. Like, there were the big home run in the ninth inning against the Cubs when the whole Thanks Club thing at Wrigley. I mean,
except for 19 when Moncada was good, he hasn't done anything else.
Yeah.
Arguably.
He was okay in 21. I think he was a 4.5 win player, which is like slightly above average. But like he was never a star other than the 1 year, 2019.
Yeah, he got MVP votes in 19 and then he just fell off.
Yeah. So it's just, you're right. I would still say it was him, but like, I do think we always thought Eloy would be like a superstar hitter, and he just never really turned into it. So I think they're both in the conversation, and Robert's whole thing is his middle body, breaking down on him. When he's on the field, he's elite. But I don't know if Moncada, Robert, and Jimenez have the mindset that it takes to play a full season. I just don't.
I think you're right. Did they say how long he's going to be out?
Who?
Robert?
Robert, a couple months, 2 to 3 months.
I didn't hear.
And was Moncada 3 to 6, something like that?
Because I know is Luis's his hamstring again.
I think it was his hip flexor again.
Oh, yeah, that's usually a month or two.
Yeah, six weeks is the hope, according to Chris Getz.
Okay,
3 days ago,
month and a half. Let's call it 2 months.
Yeah.
April, May, June. Think about that, White Sox fans. You're probably not seeing – well, you're definitely not. It's middle of April. So you're definitely not seeing Luis Robert until at least June. But you get to see Robbie Grossman, baby.
Hell yeah, Robbie Grossman. He won't be able to play in the All-Star
game. I will say he was the best White Sox player last week by a mile.
Oh, yeah. There's no doubt. But, you're on a team with a bunch of dorks.
Would you say that they are – is there another word besides a dork, maybe?
Maybe like a dud?
Oh, dude, you read my mind.
You suck!
You suck. Suck.
Stupid. Ozzy. No excuse.
What a dud. What a total, total dud.
I don't know how you pick one. The whole team, for the most part, was a dud last week, but this is the part of the show where we usually – pick an Adam dud of the week. Oh, where do we start, Vin? Got a big yawn as I said that. Nice.
I honestly... we're not allowed to give it to the whole team, right?
We certainly could.
Yeah, but then it's not, it's more fun to like poo on someone. I'm going to give it to Andrew Vaughn. That guy sucks. Andrew Vaughn, today he went 0-for-4 with a strikeout. His batting average is down to a whopping 172. Get this. His OPS is .457. That is one of the worst OPSs I've seen from a guy who's supposed to be like a star player on a team. He led the White Sox in RBIs last season. It was an okay year for Andrew Vaughn. I think he got put on a little bit higher of a pedestal than he deserved. But yeah, Andrew Vaughn, my dud of the week. That guy stinks.
23 at-bats, 4 hits. How many strikeouts did he have in 23 at-bats, Finn? 8.
Stinks.
Slugging percentage of .261. Brutal. Another guy that was brutal this week, and he's my Adam Dud of the week. I'm going to go with Lenin Sosa. Dude was awful. 3-for-20, bat 150, struck out 7 times and 20 at bats. It's almost 50% of the time. 1 RBI, only 5 total bases. He walked once. OPS .440. Come on, 440. There's so many options here, dude. Oh, wait, here's another one. The Illinois native, Vin.
Oh, Nicky Two Strikes?
Yeah, Nicky Two Strikes Lopez. Brutal. Batted 71 this week. He went, let's see. He went 1-for-14.
No, but Joe, he's from Naperville, so, like, he's sick.
It's a good story, man.
Am I the only one that doesn't care?
Oh, no, you're not.
Like, I could care less where he's from. I don't care if he went to high school with me.
Another honorary mention, Vin, Martin Maldonado. Batted a whopping 0 this week. 0-for-11.
Yep, terrible. I mean, he's not brought in to hit.
I get it.
At all. Like, he's there to be a catcher. And
11 at bats. 11 at bats, Vin. How many strikeouts for Maldonado? Just take a guess.
10.
Not quite, but 5. 5 out of 11.
That's great. Yeah, that's insanity. But you know what? I say that. He was brought in just to be a catcher. He's a real good pitch framer. He's been a really good defensive catcher for a long time. And his batting average has pretty much exclusively always been under 200. It's not that much of a shock. You need to give me more than that. If you're going to be in a major league lineup, you need a little bit more than that. It just can't entirely be all about your defense as a catcher. Like, yeah, that might be a big part of your game, but that cannot be the only thing.
Yeah. There's really only 2 options for the other side of the fence. Well, maybe a few more, but those guys all stunk. There's only a few that were good in this week's edition of Put It on the Board. Player of the Week. Yay.
Ball hit deep. Way back. He looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes.
And I might as well play the new one, too. I played the wrong one, but why not? Two options, Vin. I'll let you lead off with one.
I'll go with Michael Kopech. Was he one of the ones you named?
He was not, but there's 3. That's good.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Michael Kopech, so you could say your other 2. Kopech's ERA is down to 1.93. Pitched again tonight, 1 perfect inning. Got 2 strikeouts out of the 3 outs he recorded. He's been one of the better late-inning relievers in the MLB so far this season. That's far from the fireball throwing starter that we were promised when he was first acquired in the Chris Sale trade. But if he could be a great late inning bullpen guy for the White Sox going forward, that would be great. If he's ultimately the closer of this team, that's awesome. The White Sox are just going to go into so few ninth innings with a lead.
Save many games.
Yeah, he's not worth owning in fantasy because you're not going to get many saves from him if you do.
You get maybe 3 all year.
Yeah, and I don't.
Maybe yeah. If you're lucky.
Honestly.
Does he have 1 yet?
I think he might have 1.
Yes, he's got 1.
Yeah. So, we'll see
one in the last 7 days.
Yeah. Yep.
He hit 3 scoreless this week. 4 strikeouts, 1 walk. Very solid. My other put on the board player is going to be Garrett Crochet, who looked really good in 4 1/3. Again, I don't know why he only went 4 1/3. I didn't get to watch that game, but I'm assuming he got yanked early. I mean, he only gave up – did he give up – no way. He gave up 5 earned runs?
Yeah, all in 1 inning.
Okay, well.
But he was dynamite other than that. I know other than 1 bad 5-run inning sounds dumb, but I mean, he's not, for this White Sox team, yeah. I think that does deserve praise.
Yeah, I suppose having the 1 inning, but outside of that – Davey Garcia was good this week out of the pen. A couple guys in this bullpen were pretty good. But that's not, I was originally going to say Crochet, but I guess I didn't see that he gave up five. But my my other option, which is nuts that I'm even saying this out loud, the best offensive player on the White Sox in the last 7 days, none other than expected top offensive provider, Robbie Grossman.
Love that.
18 at bats. He went 6 for 18. That shows you how bad this team is. He's only got one RBI, going 6 for 18. He walked 9 times over the last 7 days. So not only did he have 6 hits, he had 9 walks. Only struck out 4 times. He stole a bag. Batting average .333 for the week. On base percentage of .944, Vin. Robbie Grossman, nice job, man. At this rate, you're probably going to be playing every day.
Might go to the All-Star game.
If he keeps playing like that. I mean, more Robbie Grossman for me. I liked him when he was on Detroit. I used to have him in fantasy because he was always one of those gritty guys. He was kind of this is a bad analogy, but it's true. He reminds me of like Adam Eaton before he started to suck.
Yeah, that makes I get that. People only remember like bad years. No, Adam Eaton was a good player for like almost a decade.
So he reminds me of good Adam Eaton. Again, don't totally chirp at me, chat room. I'm sure people are going to say that's sacrilege, but we don't have much to look at this year. Honorable mention, Dominic Fletcher's looked pretty good too. Pretty-ish good. Not so much fielding, but well, there's been no good feeling, really.
Is Robbie Grossman the greatest R. Grossman in Chicago sports history?
No. I like Sexy Rexy.
You were a fan? I was a fan, too. He did kind of suck sometimes, but he got to a Super Bowl.
I mean, you can't fault the guy for getting to the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not saying he's, like, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, but I got a soft spot.
Yep, same.
I went to his first start ever.
Oh, yeah? What year was that? Had to be like 02, 03?
Yes. I think it was the first year of New Soldier Field, I'm fairly certain.
Got it. That makes sense.
And Randy Moss. They were playing against Randy Moss and the Minnesota Vikings.
What a game.
And the Bears won the game by picking off whoever the cornerback was. I can't remember. Was it Pena Tillman back then? I don't know. Somebody ripped the ball out of Moss's hands in the end zone at the end to get a touchback to win the game. That's all I remember.
That's incredible. Would Dante Culpepper have been their quarterback?
Maybe.
Interesting.
My brother-in-law. I have a dumpster in my driveway for a project. I'm tempted to light it on fire and pretend I'm at a game.
Love that. Absolutely love that. You know, Rex Grossman, when he would just throw a bad interception, he had like this dumb look on his face every time, like, oh, how'd that happen? Kind of look. But I don't know. From one stinky White Sox or Chicago sports team to another, the White Sox. Yeah, you light your dumpster on fire and put a White Sox like logo on it or something. I don't know.
We are a dumpster fire. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
Van, it was real tough. For last week's pick to click. Pretty brutal, as a matter of fact. Zim went with Paul DeJong. I went with Garrett Crochet, and you went with Shoemake.
Mm-hmm.
None of them were good. If I had to pick one out of all of them, I guess I would go with Crochet. So yeah. That makes me – I don't like this title. I'm 2-0. It just doesn't feel right, though.
You have
like,
as many wins as the White Sox. Congrats.
It feels like sticky icky, yeah.
There you go.
Congrats. My daughter watching Miss Rachel would say sticky, icky, 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 sticky bubblegum.
Yeah.
Someday you'll know the song, Ben.
I'm sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
You get Crochet, though. I think that's fair. He had one bad inning. The rest of the guys stink, so.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to do this week's pick to click, if I could find it. Uh, me being the kind soul that I am, I reached out to our friend Steven Zim Zimmerman earlier, and I asked him who he wants. He's under the weather. I'm like, who do you want, Zim? I'll give you first pick. I don't really care. I'm not taking Crochet again because I feel like it's like a hack. It's like Dylan Cease a year ago, 2 years ago. You can win every week by picking them, and it's just not fair. So I offered it up to Zim and our friend Steven Zim Zimmerman, which he's being serious here. He went Corey Lee, Ben.
Corey Lee. I like the pick from one catcher to another. Zim takes Corey Lee.
He's got a tough spot for catchers, that guy.
Yeah, I do too. I don't talk about it as much as him, but for the first half of my baseball career, I did play catcher. That's probably why I don't talk about it as much, because I did move. It wasn't the final position I played in my career.
Yeah.
I moved to first base when things got a little hard for me from the waist down. Not in a dirty way, in a baseball way.
I didn't even go there, Vin, but thank you.
No. I'm being, yeah, I know. I just, people like to be funny. I'm actually being serious. You know, my hips and my knees and my ankles, it didn't work anymore. So I moved to first base but yeah, I love catchers. So I'm with Zim on the catcher love for sure. Most fascinating position in sports to watch, in my opinion. I'm going to go with Michael Kopech.
Nice. I like it, Vin. I can go for that.
Michael Kopech's a dog right now. I came into this year thinking he stunk, so this is better than nothing.
That was a good move for him. I mean, it's early, but hopefully he doesn't blow out his elbow.
Yeah, that's a big worry for everyone.
It's a big concern for everyone. There's not a lot of exciting guys left to watch. So
we could talk about that. Give your pick to click first, though.
My pick to click. You know, I came into this 100% saying that I was going to pick Eloy, but I changed my mind after seeing that terrible at bat. I know it's kind of a hack because I got to see him one at bat, but
yeah.
I'm going to go with Robbie Grossman.
Nice.
I'm going to ride the hot hand, the white lightning.
Do you have up in front of you what number Grossman's wearing? I'm drawing a big blank.
I do have it in front of me.
It would be a power move if he's number 8.
Oh. This can't be right. Is it because today's Jackie? Okay.
Yeah, he was 42 today. Everyone was 42.
But
today.
But ESPN changed their thing so that it says every player. But like, that's this is funny. This is their season stats. This isn't. Why would you do that? I don't know. Whatever. I can tell you in a second.
I got it. I'll have it for you. Yeah, I knew he wore number 8 in his career with the Tigers, but he's wearing. Oh, they gave him Jake Berger's number. Oh, I didn't need to know that.
Which one? 45?
30.
Oh, because he was 45 and then he was 30.
Yeah, I didn't need to know that he was 30, actually. I regret knowing that.
Really? You think that's Jake Berger's number?
No.
Whose number is it to you?
It's definitely, if I had to pick someone, like, was it Robin Ventura? No, yeah.
I don't know if it was or not, but that's not who my number 30 is.
Who is number 30 that I should know? No, Robin Ventura was 23. Yeah, that's right.
I show my age here.
Who was 30? Why can't I remember who 30 was? Go ahead, go for it.
There's a chat room. Does the chat room know?
Nope, nobody's got it. Maglio. That's right. He is my 30. But Jake Berger, like, it's not that they gave him Jake Berger's number. It's that they traded Jake Berger, and he's not there anymore, and now Robbie Grossman has
that. Well, sure.
That's what's disgusting about him wearing number 30.
Maglio was my guy, dude. I was obsessed with Maglio Ordóñez back in the day. I was distraught when he signed with Detroit.
Yeah, that was tough. I really liked Maglio, too. When he was with the White Sox and he was 30, my dad had his jersey. I want to say. And yeah, we were huge. I mean, he was a good player. He was a really good player.
Look at this fantastic line from Aldo. The White Sox joined the 1907 Brooklyn Suburbas as the only team in MLB history to be shut out 6 times in the first 16 games. There is, per Codify Baseball, Vinny, there is nothing more accurate than this GIF. which I pulled specifically for this show, which is now disappeared. Life is pain.
Yep. I hate life.
If, as White Sox fans, we do.
Yeah. That's what life is on this show. It sucks. I mean,
I can go back to the glory days of being a White Sox fan as a kid and loving Maglio Ordóñez and like Jose Valentin. I mean, this show might just turn into us talking about the glory days.
Yep.
Or just not talking about the White Sox for the last 20 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we should do on most of the shows. I loved the 2000s White Sox, though, basically from the beginning of the decade to the end. I only caught a little bit age-wise of the end. The first year I remember watching MLB is 2000, when the Yankees won the World Series again, and, you know, Derek Jeter was in his prime, and the Marlins made it the next year. Or no, did the Marlins make it the next year?
Wasn't that one the Diamondbacks?
The Diamondbacks is who I'm thinking. The Marlins made it in 98 and then Luis again in 03. Gonzalez. But yeah, yes, the Diamondbacks were real good in 01, I remember.
I remember because it was 9/11 and then
yes.
They had the whole, you know, running out with the flag and all that stuff.
Yep, and I think the Yankees lost the World Series in Game 7 in 01, and that would have been four straight, if I remember correctly. There was something right. Something crazy like that with the Yankees. Those are the years I remember first watching, being like 7, 8 years old, because I used to arrange. I had every mini helmet from Dairy Queen, and I used to arrange them by the standings. And I remember being like, this is going to sound weird, because like, what kind of 6-year-old, 7-year-old does this? But like, that's what I would do. I would put them in order of the standings in my room. And yeah, I remember the Marlins and the Yankees being the cream of the crop back then. But even the White Sox teams early on with Carlos Lee and Ordóñez and, you know, Frank Thomas.
El Caballo.
El Caballo. And then Paul Konerko ended up rolling through. You know, he started to get in his prime. They signed Jermaine Dye, and they trade for A.J. Pierzynski, and Joe Creedy's developing along the way. Aaron Rowan, you eventually trade him for Tomei after the World Series. Like, all sorts of, you know, great moments in the 2000s. The 2010s mostly sucked. Didn't love that as much. We had the Ozzie
experience. All in, baby.
We were all in on Ozzie, like, in the early stages of 2010, 11, 12, I think, were the final years.
Uh-huh.
And they were good in 12. But then after Ozzie left, and let me be clear, I loved Ozzie's tenure from beginning to end. I never once wanted him gone. After that, though, they go to freaking Robin Ventura. Like, what? Really? This is who you're going to hire just because he played for you once upon a time? And then it was from Ventura to Rick Renteria.
Wow.
And then Rick Renteria to Tony La Russa, Tony La Russa to Pedro Grifol. And it's been blah ever since, except for 20 and 21. 19 was fun too. I enjoyed the 19 season, even though they were mostly stinky, but they were a little bit improved. The 18 season was fun in the second half.
Technically,
they called up Giolito.
Technically, Vin, sorry, I have to jump in. There was an interim manager after Ozzie was fired. I want you to tell me who that is.
Interim manager after Ozzie was fired. Was it someone from within the organization just taking over? Is it Don Cooper?
It was Don Cooper. Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah. I figured it would probably be either him or Boston, technically, or who was before Daryl Boston showed up. Frickin' what's his name? He just got put in the Hall of Fame. Now I'm drawing a blank on his name. What a bad White Sox fan I am right now. Harold Baines.
Yeah.
I thought there was a chance he would have been. It was between him and Don Cooper for that. But yeah, Don Cooper makes sense. They gave him the head coaching job over manager job over hiring someone from outside, even though it was middle of the. That's weird.
You want to know how many? What do you think? What do you think his record was?
How many games did he manage the White Sox? Like 50?
Two.
Oh, no, two? Don't tell me he was 2-0. He had to have been 0-2.
Nope.
1-1?
He was 1-1.
Nice. 500 manager. He had a better record than Tony La Russa as the manager.
He had a better record than Robin Ventura, Rick Renteria.
Yeah.
Definitely Pedro.
Well, Pedro. That guy's just... It reminds me of like Mark Trestman. He's the Mark Trestman of baseball.
See, back in the day, when I was young, I thought Jerry Manuel sucked as a manager. But he had a 5.15 winning percentage.
Yeah. No, the White Sox have been a trash franchise since 2008.
I wish I had a beer.
Nice.
Yeah, I sure I do. I'm not going to go get one.
Yeah.
Got a nice tall glass of water, baby.
Nice. Drink more water. Drink more water.
Or if you're watching at home, vodka.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Russian water.
Yeah, what a stinky team comrade. This team is. Hate them.
I don't even have any guaranteed takes for today other than this guarantee that this team stinks.
I have a guaranteed take we could talk about for 5 minutes if you'd like, because I know we want to end early tonight and prep for next week. But
which we'll speak about here after this in a minute, too. Our show next week is going to be a real good one. But first, we're going to dive into this week's guaranteed take. Throw it at me, Vin. What do you got, baby?
We have a very poor way of developing kids in the sport of baseball. Hockey has taken steps forward because the game has become all about speed and skill. There are less kids getting hurt because it's not all about checking each other in the hands or smashing each other's faces into the boards. Football has taken a step forward developing their prospects because it's all about concussion protocol and specially designed scientific helmets that help embrace your impact of your skull to keep you protected while playing football. Helmets are better than ever. Concussions are coming down at the youth level, which is improving. You know, the way they play football, kids are taught to how to tackle properly, how to fall properly. The way football is, out of all of them, the least guaranteed injury safety. It's the most violent, barbaric of them all. There will always be injuries, but we have used medical technology to improve the way we try to avoid head injuries and head problems. Basketball, there's always injury risk in basketball with like the lower body, especially ankles, hamstrings, knees, feet. Like, you know, those are mainly the things. Every now and then a guy will get a concussion from like a bad elbow or like something. But like, and you know, concussions aren't necessarily a big problem in baseball either, outside of being hit by a pitch or, you know, something crazy on the base paths. I would say they're a lot more minimal than hockey and football. We are failing our kids' elbows, though. It is a serious, serious problem. The way pitchers today can't make it to the MLB without Tommy is very sad. We're letting our kids down. They should. Sure. And here's the problem with it, Joe. If I teach my kid, because it needs – it's not going to work unless you change it for everyone, because if I put my kids in baseball, which I firmly plan on doing.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Me too.
They're going to be taught about velocity and spin rate from the time they're like 8 years old. That means this little ligament in your elbow called the UCL is going to have stress on it. I've done a lot of listening. I'm not a doctor. I'm not even trying to be funny here or anything like that. I am very stupid, but I am just relaying what I have heard from unstupid people. There is a ligament in your elbow called a UCL. From the time you're 8 years old, worrying about velocity and spin rate on a baseball, it puts pressure on your UCL that your UCL is not designed to take. So it is blow after blow with every single pitch. And by the time these kids are becoming 14, 15 years old, they can throw 90 and their spin rate on their slider is dirty and nasty. And let me tell you something. Nobody loves a filthy curve or a disgusting slider more than me. It is one of the most satisfying things to watch as a sports fan. But kids today are doing it from such a young age. They are not developing properly. It is leading to problems when they become pros.
Yep.
And something has to give here. It's not the way it's supposed to be. They are in danger of this getting worse and worse as years go on. We're starting pitching, Joe. It's becoming like a running back in the NFL. You can plug a player rotation every year and not pay the Blake Snells or the, you know, the Jordan Montgomerys are the top dogs every free agent offseason, the big money anymore, because Jacob DeGrom's on IL. Justin Verlander's on IL. Garrett Cole's gone. We're going to lose Spencer. We already lost Spencer Strider. Ohtani's not pitching.
You said it perfectly. I'm just, let me chime in 1 second. You perfectly said it. Blake Snell fired Boris over what happened to him.
The greatest free agent, or the greatest agent of all time, in a lot of people's opinion.
Greatest agent of all time. He screwed him over because no team wanted to pay him that mega deal that he wanted, when he could have had a deal probably 3 or 4 times what he actually ended up getting. I think he got 2 years, $25 million, or 1 year, $25 million.
Yep.
I think it was
nobody's giving out those contracts anymore. It's stupid. It's
because of this.
Giolito out. And some of the guys I named are older, and I get that. The DeGroms, the Verlanders, Scherzers, guys like that. But, like, players aren't even going to make it to that age with the rate we're going. And it's sad, because if I tell my 9-year-old, yo, do not worry about the RPMs of your slider right now, or the velocity of your fastball right now. Worry about delivering strikes and developing your arm talent rather than those other things. But their neighbor can throw 90 and has a slider that can fool a high school kid at 9 years old. Who's getting the spot on the travel team? Who's getting the scholarships to college to play at LSU or Vanderbilt or whoever the case may be? Who's getting drafted by Major League Baseball teams down the line? The kid who, you know, was able to throw 90 and have a crazy slider at 17 years old. But my kid, he's going to be a little bit different of a pitcher. He's not going to fully rely on spin rate or velocity. He's going to rely on placement and, you know, the technique of pitching rather than throwing hard. And his longevity and his arm will be more efficient. Like, look at a guy like Kyle Hendricks, how long he's been able to mostly be injury free with his elbow in his MLB career.
Yeah.
He doesn't pump gas, you know. And, you know, the guys that do, Aroldis Chapman, Craig Kimbrel, those guys are closers. They pitch one inning a game for how many years? It's just, it's a mess from the development programs up, and it's sad for the state of baseball right now, because starting pitching is key, but it is easily interchangeable because of the injuries going on. Unless it's like one of the top type flight guys in the middle of like a career year for him, it's just not worth it to pay all these guys all that money. You can draft them, develop them for 3 years. Then it's, once it's time to pay them, move on to the next guy. Very similar to what the Rays do. Mm-hmm. The Rays said, adios, Glasnow. Bye-bye, Blake Snell. Bye-bye, you know, who's next? Are they going to get rid of McClanahan next? He's been a little hurt lately. You know, they're a factory. They keep pumping out new pitching every year, and guys you never heard of become stars.
It makes you wonder if that's why they dealt Dylan Cease, because they were thinking about that.
And he has never had bad injury. I think he's made every start of his career.
Yep, Brandon says pitching has turned into a running back position. Absolutely.
Yep.
I'm with you on all this, Vin. It's an epidemic. Brandon mentioned earlier that his coach didn't allow them to throw curveballs until after their sophomore year. So
that makes sense.
That's cool.
That makes sense. But it's hard now. It's hard to make it big without.
Well, it's hard to compete without those pitches.
That too, because hitters now are better than ever. If you throw a fastball or a changeup every pitch, you know, some of these high school kids are going to eventually run into one and hit it to Pluto. But if you're working in, you know, the junk, it makes it much harder to predict what you're going to do. It makes it, you know, a really good slider appears to be a fastball until about 30 feet from the plate.
And then it just darts down. Yeah,
exactly. So that's, you know, and, you know, people who don't know baseball too well, they'll go, what are you swinging at? I'm like, it looked like a fastball until it became out of his eyesight.
You ask Eloy all about it. He struck out on 3 sliders tonight.
Seriously, it is impossible, because it looks like it's coming right down the middle. And then right when you go to swing your bat, the ball's in the dirt. That's why it's so effective. That's why you see guys who get paid millions miss so often on stuff like Eloy. We make fun of him. He's not a bad hitter. He's actually quite a talented hitter. And, you know, it takes that kind of junk to, you know, fool someone. So it's just, it's a problem right now. It sucks.
It is certainly a problem, and I promise you one thing, Vin, we'll probably be talking about it again later this year when somebody inevitably on this team blows out their elbow.
Yes. Looking forward to it.
Yes, aren't we all? PZ had a great call out during this question for us, Vin. Do we have an opinion on the Angel Hernandez story? Screwing over the Texas Rangers.
If anyone in the world was as bad at their job as Angel Hernandez, they would no longer be employed. I cannot believe in that Rangers game the way there were three consecutive pitches that were all about 6 inches off the plate and all three of them were called strikes. And if you're the pitcher, you know, I said that pitcher's a genius. Not enough people. I forget who it was pitching. That guy didn't get enough praise. I don't even know his name, which is sad. I'm going to go back and Google it and give him the respect that he deserves. Same spot
three times?
Yeah. You're like, oh, I have Angel Hernandez behind the plate. This guy's a moron. The batter's not going to swing at the ball because it's out of the zone, and Angel Hernandez is going to call that a strike. So I'm going to pound that spot in the zone on three straight pitches, and it's going to be awesome. I think that is absolutely the reason or a reason to like praise that guy. He deserves all the credit in the world for just being smarter than everybody else.
Yeah, I don't understand Angel Hernandez. It's like back when we had Joe West. It reminds me of Joe West, except he's even worse at calling balls and strikes.
Yep.
The guy shouldn't be an ump anymore. Like Brandon said, the union's protecting him.
Yep.
Hernandez has to be on his way out, though, I would imagine. I mean, the guy, he's lost. Every year he loses. Every year you hear a story about Angel Hernandez sucking.
But why? Here's the thing. Everybody blames the union. Like, oh, the union. And I know Angel Hernandez has rights for the union.
Sure.
From the union. But, like, why would the Major League Baseball Umpiring Association want Angel Hernandez consistently make them look bad the way that he does? That's the thing that I don't understand. Workers are a reflection of the employee. So, like, or the employer. If you go to McDonald's and the guy serving you is an a-hole, and he gives you a Dr. Pepper when you wanted a Diet Coke, that makes McDonald's look bad just as much as it makes the guy look bad or the girl. Like, it's crazy to me the way this guy gets protected for being consistently terrible all the time.
Well, he's been doing it a long time.
He has. I didn't think West was bad. He had some head scratchers for sure, and it always seemed like he had an issue with the White Sox as the great Hawk Harrelson once hilariously pointed out, but I don't think it was close.
What are you doing, Joe?
Yeah. Come on, Joe. And then he has since come out to say that him and Joe have become pretty good friends off the field. But I think Angel Hernandez is 10 times worse. Oh, I don't even think it's close. I would let Joe West be the home plate umpire for the White Sox in the World Series for all seven games, then I would rather Hernandez do a regular season game for the White Sox. I'm being dead serious.
Yeah, man. I would just rather have neither. How about that?
That, you know what? We're very close to that. We're very close to that, Joe.
It'll be sooner than later. That's a hot pile of doo-doo right there. But that's a great conversation, Vin, and great question, PZ. Love it. We'll see what happens with Angel over the coming weeks. But Vin brought this up a little while ago in what we call in the business a teaser. But we got a great guest next week, guys. We got a heck of a show planned for you. I'm sure you guys may have heard earlier this year there was a documentary called Last Comiskey. It was a very, very well done show. And there's a book that is coming out, a companion piece to that successful documentary. Next week we have first time author Ken Smaller, who wrote the new book Last Comiskey. It is the companion piece to the very successful documentary out last year with the same name. Ken contributed to the documentary as well. The book comes out April 28th, and Ken Smaller will be on the show with us next week to talk all about Last Comiskey. and everything involved with it. So I'm looking forward to that, Vin. I think that's going to be a great show, man.
Absolutely. We're going to have some good conversations, learn a couple things, and that's what it's all about in a season like this. I'm looking forward to it.
I mean, it's a book that celebrates the final season at the Baseball Palace of the World, Comiskey Park, in 1990. I mean, the Sox played there for 80 years, man. So in this book, you know, Ken it does a lot of research, talks about everything that happened. Ozzie Guillen has the foreword in the book, so we get to hear a little bit about all that. I'm looking forward to it, man. I remember going to the first season at New Comiskey Park and just remembering, like, the smell of it and how new it looked. The puke turquoise on the outside that they chose for some reason. It was the most 90s ballpark ever when they first made that decision. I mean, it's iconic sort of now, but back in the day, I remember walking in as a little kid, and I'm like, holy cow. I didn't say that as an adult, but holy cow, and I got myself a snow cone.
Love that, Joe. What a story. It's going to be good. Maybe stories like that will bleed out as we do the show, too. It's just going to be a good conversation. I'm looking forward to it.
So, yeah, tune in next week, a week from today. I believe that's the 22nd, if my memory serves me correct. That is correct. Excuse me. Got the yawns. A little bit of a later show tonight. That's okay. But yeah, tomorrow, next week, April 22nd, 8 p.m. Central, 9 p.m. Eastern. Ken Smaller talking Last Comiskey. You can pre-order the book anywhere you can find books, but it does come out on April 28th. So make sure you guys check that out and check out the interview next week. It's going to be a great show. We cannot wait to dig in to all that stuff because let's be honest, guys, it's more exciting to talk about the old White Sox, the old park, all the exciting. I mean, Frank Thomas was still playing for the team at the time, guys. Come on. So that's all exciting stuff. Looking forward to that. And our buddy Zim will be back with us. He couldn't be with us tonight. He's a little under the weather. So we're sending our well wishes to him so that he feels better real soon. Because I know he's going to want to be back for that interview next week. I can see him now typing out the questions, getting ready to rock and roll.
Absolutely. Looking forward to having Zim back and doing the show with such a sweet guest that'll be insightful. So should be a good one.
Heck yeah, man. We always usually take the last few minutes of the show to dive into anything else we have going on in our lives, Vin. And I figured what better day to ask you? Last day of the New Jersey Devils season, your last hockey game you're covering. So I just wanted to check in with you. How's that all going? How are you looking forward to the offseason of hockey?
Yeah, so the Devils had a disappointing year. That's well documented. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong. And they were still pretty much in it till the very end, until the last week or so, with the crazy race that was the Eastern Conference wild card. I still got the Blackhawks, two more games for them. I'll be doing that for Chicago Hockey Now, so I highly encourage people to go check that out. Joe, we might be in the building next year for games as a credentialed writer, so that's very much something to look forward to, with a lot to figure out over the summer. Bar Down will be on Wednesday. In addition to all my writing about hockey, we have the podcast on Wednesday. My game day lives are over because the Devils are done. But, you know, every Wednesday, even throughout the summer, we'll be Bar Down. We'll be talking about all things hockey. I got Edmonton versus San Jose on right now. McDavid has 99 assists, Connor McDavid. And one or four players in NHL history have ever had 100 assists in a single season. And it's Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux, and Bobby Orr, widely considered the three greatest hockey players of all time.
Hall of Famers.
Yeah. And, like, if you made an NHL Mount Rushmore, those three would be on it. And then you could debate the fourth. So yeah, it's a crazy year. Austin Matthews has a very nice 69 goals, and a player hasn't scored 70 goals in a season since Teemu Selanne and Brett Hull did it in 1993. So it's been over 30 years since the last time someone scored a whopping 70, and Austin Matthews has two more games to do it for the Maple Leafs. So we'll see if he's able to do it tomorrow. Kucherov and McKinnon both have 135-plus points. Like, they're in the Hart Trophy conversation. So is Connor McDavid. So is Austin Matthews with all these goals. Crosby and Ovechkin are probably both going to make the playoffs again, which is, or no, only one of them can make it. Excuse me. One of them will make it, I think, or Detroit. And it's that still not being decided is what's crazy. It's probably going to go down as one of the greatest regular seasons ever. In terms of the overall sport. Yeah. And Vegas, your Golden Knights. They clinched the other day. They're the defending Stanley Cup champions, and they were super elite in the first half. They were mostly dog crap from December 28th until about a month ago. And then at this trade deadline, they're lighting
the earth on fire, baby.
Yeah, they trade for this Tomas Hertl, who's been one of the best players on the Sharks for the last, you know, probably close to a decade now, if not more. And is that the 100 assists for Connor McDavid? I don't know. I think it might be. That might be it. Hurdle's been amazing. Now he's on the Golden Knights all of a sudden. Stone's going to be back ready for the playoffs. It is a marvelous story they are right now. And, you know, you got fun teams like Vancouver and Colorado, Edmonton. We'll see who gets in the East. The Bruins are real good once again. So, I mean, watch hockey. I'm telling you. It's for a lot of people, it's just as good as baseball. For me, it's very even.
I love it, man. We love hockey on this network, and baseball and football. And you name it. Ozzy, although with a great quote from Ozzy, if I was a pitcher, I'd say, Skip, can you skip me? I want to face the White Sox. That's the most Ozzygian thing I think I've ever heard. But he's very true. Switching sports for a second, Vin. Did you check out the Masters at all?
I was watching it a little bit. Who ended up winning?
Scottie Scheffler.
It was Scheffler. That's what I thought. Okay.
By 4 strokes, which is domination.
From what I read, I didn't really watch it all that. There's just so much to watch. I'm trying. I'm really trying. I did watch a little bit of it. It seemed like it was compelling this year. And going into Sunday, you didn't know who was going to win, right? So, like, that's always amazing to me. It's, you know, when you don't know what's going to happen and then you have some compelling golf to watch on the Sunday, what I always like to see.
See, a lot of people will dog on me for this. I love watching golf.
Oh, me too. Me too. I wish it wasn't going on, and, you know, this is a me problem, but it's going on in a weekend where the Frozen Four was going on. The NHL has less than 3 games left for every team. Baseball's just starting. Like, it's hard for me, even though I utilize like 5 screens at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, even with that, it's hard to find a screen for golf. Sometimes that's my only issue. But I do love it. I love playing it too.
I love watching golf. I love playing golf. I suck at it, but I love playing golf. Nothing like a golf video game too to calm you down, man. I love playing golf video games.
Love that.
I'm much better in the golf video games than I am at golf in real life. But I still love golfing.
Got to keep golfing. It's the hardest of every sport I named.
I mean, if you want to see me hit a ball 350 yards to the left, you can certainly check me out when I swing a driver.
I'm sure you're real good at that.
It goes straight for like 10 seconds, and then it just hightails it to the left.
Like a curveball.
It's like a homing missile.
Nice.
It's like a heat-seeking missile. It's like something went by. It's like Top Gun when they let the flares out of the back.
That's funny. You ever see, I know you have, the Fantastic Four, the one where Chris Evans plays Johnny Storm, the Human Torch?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately. I mean, I guess it's better than the latest reboot.
Yeah, I watched him back a couple months ago, and I actually didn't hate him as much as I thought. There were bad moments, but it makes me think that heat-seeking missile that chased, they were going to, I think Dr. Doom set it off to blow up the Baxter building, but Johnny took on his Human Torch self and got the missile to go away, and he ended up having to blow up an abandoned ship in the middle of the water. I don't know. I thought that scene was sick.
Love it, man. Now the Human Torch is played by the guy from Stranger Things.
So. Yes, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, man.
I must say. Who did they cast for the Invisible Woman?
That would be Susan Vanessa Storm? Kirby.
That's what it was. Great casting. Kirby.
Yeah.
And then we know Mr. Fantastic too, don't we?
Pedro Pascal.
Oh yeah, that's right. Duh. Stupid. When I call myself stupid on this program, on this network all the time. That's my number one, I think, right there. Of course I knew that. The only thing that they do, Ben Grimm. They had to have done Ben Grimm.
They cast it perfectly. Did you ever watch The Bear?
The Bear. I've been told to watch The Bear. I haven't gotten around to it.
The guy who plays Cousin is the thing, and it's just perfect.
Do you happen to know his name offhand?
Hang on a second.
Here, I'll just Google The Bear Cousin. Oh, okay. I see. I've seen this guy before.
Cousin Richie.
Ebon Moss.
Yeah, Ebon Moss Backrack. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's perfect.
He's perfect.
He's like on the thinner side. I think people need the thing to be like a little chunky. Man,
this is a bit of knowledge. He's the first actual Jewish actor to play Ben Grimm, who's actually a Jewish character.
Oh, that's actually pretty sweet.
Yeah.
And he's perfect. I would have never known that Ben Grimm was Jewish.
I only know it because I read that tidbit somewhere else.
Interesting. Very interesting. I love that. Nerdy time on the show.
Yeah, lots of nerdy time. It's all right. And speaking of nerdy time, I didn't get to tune into it at all last week, but the Fallout show came out on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're a Fallout fan or not, but I'm looking forward to watching that in my downtime.
Yeah, I've played it. I would very much like to watch it, actually. Now that hockey season's winding down, it'll be all about the playoffs, but as the weeks go on, there will be fewer playoff games per night, and my TV schedule will open up a little bit. I'm sure I'll watch a little more baseball, obviously, you know, but I will have a lot of time open for TV shows as well over the next three, 4 months.
And then, of course, the other big news item today in sports is WNBA draft. Caitlin Clark went number one to the shock of absolutely no one.
I watched the entire first round.
Nice.
Locked in. The Devils were in intermission.
Chicago Sky.
Mm-hmm.
Got Angel Reese, which is an interesting fit. Yep. I think, you know. Can you believe it? I mean, how far the sport has come, Vin. I don't think a couple of years ago I would have ever been talking about the WNBA. And that's no dig to any of the women that are in the league or anything.
No, not at all.
It's just a testament to how exciting college basketball has been with these young women. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, some of these big names.
Yep. They took Camila Cardoso with the third overall pick. She's the girl from South Carolina, Brazil.
7'1", 6'8".
Something like that. She's unreal. She's from Brazil.
She's so good.
And her and Angel Reese had a rivalry in the March Madness tournament this year. And, you know, they obviously had the rivalry with Caitlin Clark as well. And now two of them are teammates. The other is, there we go, there's Connor McDavid, 100 assists.
Good for you,
fourth player to ever do it in NHL history, only behind the great one, Super Mario, and number four, Bobby Orr. That is unbelievable stuff right there. 100 assists. That is maddening. If you get 50, you're considered like an all-world playmaker. This dude got 100. Caitlin Clark, Indiana versus Chicago in the WNBA is going to be fire. It's going to be a heat matchup. I cannot wait to go. I had forgotten that their season does not align with the NHL or regular men's NBA. I shouldn't say regular. I'm a world's bigger women's basketball fan these days than men's, so I don't mean to be insulting in any way, shape, or form. I couldn't tell you the name of any dude going in the first round of the NBA draft, the MNBA draft, and this... Just
Wemby is the only person I could think of.
Oh, yeah, Wemby. That's right. I do recognize that name. I knew Angel Reese, obviously Camila Cardoso, Caitlin Clark, the Brink. I'm drawing a blank on Brink's first name, though. She went second overall. I mean, just it's way better. It's way better.
Yeah, so that's exciting stuff. And that's great for the Midwest, for a Chicago, Michigan, Indiana, specifically Indiana folks. Looking forward to some of that. Sports are getting exciting again, man. So I hope it's as exciting as it turns out that we think it's going to be in our minds. I don't know, man. Everything else, Anything else good, man? I tell you what, I got picked up a new Star Wars book. I think I was talking to you about that yesterday.
Love that. I'm going to pick it up myself and read it myself. I'm looking forward to that, obviously. But yeah.
The 25th anniversary of The Phantom Menace, May 1st. It'll be back in theaters.
Yep. The only Star Wars movie that came out while I was alive that I didn't see in theaters.
Oh. So well, we differed there. I saw it.
The Parisi brothers do plan on seeing it together because we saw Attack. We were over by our aunt and uncle, and they go, "Oh, you've never seen Star Wars." Little did me and Joey know they were about to change our lives forever. Yeah. They're like, "Oh, you've never seen Star Wars." Because selfishly they wanted to go see Attack of the Clones, so they were annoyed that we hadn't seen Phantom Menace. And we watched The Phantom Menace at their house that night. And then we had a double sleepover. The following night, we went to see Attack of the Clones in the movie theater with popcorn. I think it was one of my first times ever at a movie theater. Huh. And so, yeah, I have not. The only one I've never seen on the big screen is The Phantom Menace. So I'm pumped.
So let me get this straight, Vin. Your first Star Wars movie that you ever saw was Phantom Menace?
Ever?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I am strongly against that.
I am too. Now you got to remember, we're 9, 10.
I totally get it. Yeah.
Could you have gotten a 9-year-old to sit through A New Hope the way you would be able to Phantom Menace? I don't know. Like, The Phantom Menace was just cool looking. You don't have to say it's a better movie than A New Hope, because it is not. But
you know what? That's fair, Vin. I never thought of it close. That way.
It's better in terms of the visuals by far.
Jar Jar, yeah.
Yeah, it's Darth Maul at the end when he goes boom, boom. Like, what do you mean? Little kids are eating that up. But
talk about 25 years ago. That's insane.
That is insane. So, yeah, I had to be when Attack of the Clones came out then. If that's probably like 23 years or 22 years ago, I couldn't have been any older than like 6, 7, 8. Joey, 2 years younger than me. So, yeah, it's a wild Star Wars origin story for us. But, yeah, I can't wait to see The Phantom Menace in theaters for that reason. I've never seen it.
And they're doing all kinds of stuff for the 25th anniversary. Oh, they're putting out all these special toys. You can get cups, popcorn buckets. I'm going to drive over to my local theater just to get the cup. They released this new book, Vin. It's called The Living Force, and it takes place a year before The Phantom Menace, and it's about the Jedi Council. So, again, I haven't started it yet. I'll probably start it tonight or tomorrow. But the cover alone had me sold.
That cover is so sweet, dude. Isn't that the coolest cover of any Star Wars book. Maybe even Star Wars material. Movie, book. That might be the coolest I've seen.
Yeah, it's sick. And for those of you that are Amazon or Target shoppers, they do have buy two, get one free of books and board games. So you can mix and match. That's kind of what I did. So I basically got the book for free. So heck yeah.
Love that. Good stuff, Joe. Very good stuff.
Of equal or lesser value, by the way.
Yes, of course. Hey, Katie likes your hat, by the way. She's a big Irish fan.
I put that up there and I gave her the thumbs up.
Yeah, love that.
The story about this hat is actually funny. My wife and I, we went to a lot of women's basketball games this year for Notre Dame because her parents are season ticket holders. I had a Notre Dame hat that I like, whatever, it's fine. But I'm like, man, I really want something with a leprechaun on it, you know? And so we went to the bookstore in South Bend. I walk around, I found some hat that had a leprechaun on it, but it was kind of like, I don't know, I was just kind of settling on it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we're walking to the checkout line. We're waiting in line. And then this is the only hat like this. It's just sitting there like somebody left it there in the checkout line. And I put it on my head. I'm like, well, shit, it's destiny. And hence I have this hat.
Love that.
It's not the greatest story, but it was more exciting to me than it was.
No, that is a cool story. And it is a cool hat. I love the big logo, the Fighting Irish, the leprechaun. I mean, that is just, that's Notre Dame right there. They were only okay in hockey this year, and it bugged me. Because most
I went to one game.
Yeah, you did. You did. For most of my college hockey watching life, I saw on my Facebook memories, I'm now a 10-year college hockey watching veteran. My first ever college hockey post on Facebook was 10 years ago. Like, the anniversary of it was like 2 weeks ago. Notre Dame has been one of the better teams for most of it. And they just weren't that good this year, and it was sad. They're in the Big Ten.
I don't know who Jimmy Rizzo is, but high one-sided.
I don't know what that means.
He says he's glad he's real. And bye. So thanks for tuning in, Jimmy.
Bye, Jim.
Thank Appreciate you, Jim. The support, buddy.
Thank you, Jim.
I like Jimmy Rizzo.
Hey.
I don't know anything about him, but I bet you he makes a hell of a sub sandwich.
I'm not here to argue that. Guaranteed.
Vinny, I meant to tell you this the other day in text message, but I got something to change your life for breakfast. Okay.
Lay it on me, pal.
No, you're gonna try this tomorrow morning, probably.
Okay.
I did this because I'm just a juvenile, but I feel like I've come up with something that I feel like somebody has to have come up with this besides me. You can tell me, you may have even done this, and maybe I just feel I've taken credit for it. You make yourself a bagel in the morning, toast it nice, get it a little bit more than done, just a little tiny crisp on it, you know, like maybe a 5 on the toaster.
Okay.
You got to get the whipped cream cheese, not just the regular cream cheese. You got to get the whipped.
Whipped cream cheese is the way to go if you have the choice. Yep.
So you got to get it on perfectly layered.
Okay.
You got to get yourself some jardinier and drizzle it over the top of that bagel. Vin, changed my life.
Jard, huh?
I go with the hot, but you know.
Well, yeah, I would go hot too, but. So not muffalata, right? Just straight normal jarred?
Normal jarred.
Wow. Normal jarred.
I'm telling you, you're going to like it.
Try it. I do think there's a chance I like it because like, and you're kind of inventing your own chive and onion cream cheese, but instead of chive and onion, it's jarred. I don't think that actually sounds delightful. We used to put hot Cheetos. So that's like the juvenile version. Like jarred is a more sophisticated way to heat up your bagel with cream cheese.
And it's better if you get like a nice, like locally sourced jarred. Not that there's anything wrong with a bad, like you can get like a Marconi, which is very good, you know?
Yeah.
Or like for me, my family owns in the Chicago, in Hyde Park. My family owns a place called Hyde Park Produce, and they have their own jardinier. Uncle Yo-Yo's jardinier. I have his hot jardinier.
I would probably like to support local jarred too. I used to order jarred online from JP Graziano.
Oh, there you go.
And I would get the muffalata and a jarred. It would be like a little twofer pack for like $8.
I've never tried a muffalata on a bagel. It's probably good too.
But muffalata is just jardinière relish. It's the same taste. That's why I was asking for a bagel because like you would just think it'd be easier to like spread on a bagel, but. It's basically the same thing. It's just finely cut all the vegetables.
Yeah. And you could do that too. You could do a relish jardinier if you want, but I kind of like having, because it's important that you don't like completely cake the thing in jarred. You just do like pieces. Like you can get a pepper, you can get some celery, and then you take some of the oil and you do a little drizzle.
Ooh.
And then you kind of space out, you know, so every bite's got a couple different pieces, not like an oversaturation of jarred.
Yeah,
you got to try it, and you got to tell me what you think.
That sounds incredible. I am going to make that happen. Next time I get my hands on some bagels in the house, I will make sure that that is something that I try. Maybe we'll even post it from the South Burbs Hitman social media.
Yeah, dude, we got to do it. Because it all started, Vin, because I love to put jalapenos on a bagel.
Uh-huh.
Sounds so, you know, I do the cream cheese, and then I would put jalapenos, and I kind of circle them around.
Yeah.
And one day I ran out of jalapenos. And I'm like, ooh. I got some hot jarred here, baby. Man, changed my world, man.
Not going back to the jalapenos?
I mean, I'll dabble back and forth, you know. But...
sure, because there's a time and a place for both. Yeah, I've never tried it with jalapenos.
Oh, you haven't tried either?
No, I've never tried it with jalapenos. I love jarred. Like, yeah. I could drink jardinier juice.
Oh.
But I think I might like jalapenos more, like just straight up pickled jalapenos.
They gotta be pickled.
Yeah. I like unpickled ones on like burgers tacos. or nachos, tacos. Yeah, absolutely. I would prefer them pickled on all of those things, but there are some places that serve them unpickled on those things, and it's still good. Like B-Dubs, you get nachos at B-Dubs, Buffalo Wild Wings, no free ads. They put pickled jalapenos too, and they're good. But yeah, 100%, dude. I'm trying both of these things. You will be hearing from me on that. Do you sandwich it, or do you eat it like a flat?
I eat too like a flat.
Okay. Okay.
You could sandwich it.
Yeah, but I want to do it the way the master recommends.
So that's the way to do it, and then, but if you do a bagel and lox, if you ever do that, if you ever do like the smoked salmon too, you could sandwich it. You could put the cream cheese, the salmon, and then you could put the jarred. You could do that. That's also excellent.
That makes sense.
I made something that's like bagels and lox is totally like a Jewish thing, and I just made it Italian.
Yeah. Wow. I like making anything I can Italian. So we'll do that. I'm going to try it. Oh, but the jalapeno is probably a little more Mexican.
Well, yeah, the jalapeno side of things. Yeah.
I always said if I wasn't Italian, I'd want to be Mexican. It's all food based for me. I'm the least racist or prejudiced person you'll ever come across. I base every ranking on food. What would I want to be in order? Italian, Mexican, Mexican, Italian, all because of the food. I don't care about anything else.
Yeah, I hear you. But I was going to text you this the other day, and it just came on to me, and I'm like, I got to tell them about this while we're on the air.
I love that. I love that.
Cream cheese, jardinier.
Here's my promise to you, my friend. By next Monday, South Burbs Hitman, I will have tried it. Fact.
I know Katie's fact. Watching. Katie has to record you as you try it.
I can play it. I don't know after
our guest leaves, of course.
Yeah, of course. We don't want that guy knowing how much of a weirdo I actually am.
I'd be like, hey Ken, so what are your thoughts on jardinier on a bagel and cream cheese?
Hey Ken, what are your thoughts? Oh, you don't like it? Shut the. Never mind, Ken. Sorry.
I'm just Ken.
I'm asking him if he is Kenuff. I'll make sure it's the last question I ask in case he dips.
He's gonna be like, "What?
All right, see ya, buddy."
He's like, "All right, we'll give him his. We'll talk about the book. We'll give him his plenty of promotion."
Yep.
We know he's Kenuff because he wrote a Kenteresting book. This is why the folks stick around.
Love that.
Talk about us saying we're going to go short, and then we still go an hour and 20.
I mean, there have been 594 people that tune in on X alone.
And there's more than that right now. The number just keeps going up.
Yep.
People just love us talking about a bagel and cream cheese with jardinier on it.
I will do it all week long as opposed to talking about the White Sox.
If you're tuned into this show and you never heard of someone putting cream cheese on a bagel with jardinier, hit us up on social media. Take a picture of yourself eating that bagel. Tell us what you think. If you think it's vile, let us know it's vile. Oh, look at this. George has got something for us. Butter noodles with jardinier.
That I have had.
I've not had that, but that sounds fantastic too.
Yep. I've had butter noodles with just about everything. Broccoli, jarred, hot sauce. Yeah, I've put everything.
Well, I mean, hot sauces can go on anything, dude. I have a giant collection of hot sauce. Way too many. My wife would attest.
She's right now watching going, yep, he does.
I got a whole thing in the fridge, and then inside our pantry, I've got a whole nother thing.
Love that. Need it. Absolutely need it, dude.
It's an essential.
Love it.
There's no such thing as too many hot sauce.
Nope.
Although I will say I have a great disdain for hot sauces that are just for pain.
Yes, me too. I'm there now.
I did the hot ones challenge, and like the bomb is just straight.
Yeah. Pain. And now if you buy the box, it's only number 8. There are 2 that are hotter.
It's about the journey. I will say, regardless of the heat of the other two, the bomb is still the worst.
Yep.
Did you try the bomb?
Yeah, multiple times. It's hot as shit.
It tastes like you're eating a dumpster, and then on top of it, it destroys your mouth and burns and burns and burns.
Yep. Yeah. I'm not a fan of pointless hot sauces anymore. I used to think it was funny and cool, but I think I don't know if I got old, which I'm not old at all, but I just don't think it's not.
flavor.
It's not what I want to be doing anymore.
Meeting in the middle is just
yes,
the best.
Yes. Like, I don't like when my mouth is on fire, but if it tastes good, then I like it.
Yeah, I can take a little kick. I'm not a baby, but I also lost. I drank too much milk.
Very fair.
You did the challenge, right?
Yeah, I didn't have any milk. I don't like milk.
Oh, well, that's probably... I like milk too much, Vin, but the problem is I drank like 4.5 glasses of milk during the thing. So by wing 10, I threw up.
Yeah, that'll do it. That will
George
do
has
it.
Got the hot honey on the toast. I bet you
that's hot good too. Honey is good on everything. I would put that shit on my ice cream. That is awesome.
Ooh, hot good honey on ice cream. George. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I was half kidding, but I probably would try it, to be honest.
George, we really appreciate you tuning in, George. I'm not familiar with the name. We're happy you're here with us, and chatting with you is always fun.
Yep, absolutely.
Brandon, thank with a very, much. Very, very accurate statement here that my wife also tried to kill us early in the challenge by oversaucing the wings. This is very true.
You have to dab.
Vin, when I tell you that those mothers were saturated...
Can't do it. Can't do it past like sauce number 6. Otherwise, you'll die.
I died. But yep. Brandon edged it out. Brandon and my father-in-law didn't even act like they were hot.
That's crazy. I just did it in New Jersey like a month ago, 2 months ago. And I got through it.
You did it away from home?
Yeah.
Ain't I bold. Insane, dude.
Ain't I bold. That is when I decided that I retired from being the guy who can eat hot stuff, if that makes sense. Like the show off. I'm not doing the one chip challenge anymore. I've done it 3 too many times. Yep. I'm not doing the blazing challenge anymore. I'm not doing when my cousin shows up to the family party in the summer with the fresh new jalapenos that he grew in his backyard that he enhanced to make them hotter. I am not eating 2 of them anymore when nobody else would even eat one. That is just not my gig anymore. So someone else can be that guy. It's not me anymore.
I mean, I love doing that kind of stuff, but Vin, if I were away from home, that'd be rough, dude. food pepper
that you cook for yourself, the warm pepper. Yeah, you eat that while you're in the tundra and you're able to live.
Dude, that's like the most on point comparison ever.
I've been into Zelda a little bit lately again.
Are you back into Tears of the Kingdom?
A little bit more into the Tears of the Kingdom, yeah.
Nice.
So it's on my mind right now.
Dude, I love it, man. I love where this conversation went. This has been fun.
It's the best part of the show is once we get through the White Sox.
Hey, and even the White Sox conversation, considering how bad they are, was pretty damn good today.
Agreed.
And we've gotten to the point where we're just going to thank everyone in the chat room for hanging out with us all night. We had some really, really active folks in the chat. Brandon, got to thank Aldo, PZ, La Papa B. We got newcomer, Katie. Of course, we got to thank Katie.
Yep.
Jimmy Rizzo, who's a newcomer. I don't know if he was trying to insult us or if he was trying to say that we're real, but nonetheless, Jimmy, we appreciate the support. And then George, we appreciate you, man. I'm trying to figure out how to say the last name. I'm gonna probably butcher it. Silicus?
That's what I was thinking.
If you're still with us, George, I gotta know. Did I get it right? Is it George Silicus? Either way, we appreciate you very much. And everyone else that tuned in. There's a lot of people watching still on between Facebook and Twitter or an X and YouTube. We really, really appreciate y'all. We try to take this moment to try to get you to subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. Hit that like button. It helps us do what we do. You'll be notified anytime a show goes live on this network. There is a ton of great shows on the Barroom Network. You got Dan and Aldo Bear Their Souls. We'll talk about the Bears. You got Greg Gabriel talking football. You got Mike North, his press conference. You also have Somebody Big Just Die with Mike North and Vin. Somebody Big Did Die today. We got a show coming up on Wednesday evening, 7 o'clock, Chicago Cubs southpaw. Ken Holtzman passed away today at the age of 78 years old. We'll be eulogizing him on Wednesday night here on the Ballroom Network, 7 p.m. So make sure you tune in for that. Of course, you got Draft on Tap, getting you ready for the draft, Barfly Tailgate Show, Bear Football, so many great shows, Weekend Sports Betting Tips, Buffon 55. Subscribe. You're not going to regret it. And George says we nailed it, Vin. Silicus.
Silicus. Love that. Thank you, George.
We appreciate you, George. Don't know how you found us, but we appreciate you hanging out with us. We've had a lot of fun here. The whole show, but the last 45 minutes, Vinny and I freed ourselves of talking about the White Sox and just kind of went on to all things sports, food, and entertainment. And of course, we had to talk Star Wars a little bit. But Vin, heck of a show, man. Appreciate you hanging out with me all night. A little bit of a later start, but we still had a heck whole lot of fun.
Absolutely, and I'm looking forward to our next show and all season long. So thanks again, Joe.
No, thank you, Vin. And reminder for everyone that's still with us, great guest next week. We've author Ken Smaller of Last Comiskey joining us next week to talk about his new book, the companion piece to the wildly successful documentary of the same name. So next week, April 22nd, 8 p.m. Central on the Ballroom Network. Be here and check it out. It's going to be awesome. But Vin, let's quickly get our shout outs out of the way and then we'll wrap this show up with a tidy bow. So I'll let you lead things off, my friend. What do you got for shout outs?
My girlfriend, Katie, I love you very much. Thank you for all the support throughout the hockey season, coming with me to New Jersey and being the biggest part of my memories with the season. So very, very fun stuff. I can't wait until maybe one day we get to go to a parade together. That's my ultimate dream.
Love it, man.
With my ultimate hockey poetic dream. My ultimate hockey dream.
Nice clarification there, Vin.
Yeah, I'm not that low.
Vin's got a lot of dreams, folks.
I'm not a shallow person. It's my favorite hockey dream. Going to a Stanley Cup championship parade with Katie and the Let's Go Devils podcast crew.
Put it on the calendar, baby.
One day.
One day. One day more. Why did I go into Les Mis? Jeez, what is wrong with me? We're really going off the deep end. Please pretend you didn't hear that, folks. But I'm going to break into song. That's how you know this show's really going off the deep end. Having a lot of fun tonight. Is that all you got for shout-outs, Vin?
Yep, that's my shout-outs for the week.
Beautiful, man. Appreciate it. Shout-out to Katie as well. I want to give a major shout-out to my co-hosts here, specifically Vinny, who's with me tonight, and, of course, Steven Zim Zimmerman under the weather. Hope he's feeling better. And then, as always, a shout-out to my beautiful wife, Catherine, our two-year-old daughter, Audrey. You guys are my whole world. I love you both very much. We had a great weekend. We went to the library. We played in the park. And then we went to the zoo. And my kid lost her mind because we got to go see the monkeys. And we got to ride on a choo-choo train. So I got to hear choo-choo train said over and over again for for like 45 minutes. It's hysterically cute. Yes, Brandon's daughter calls her Baby Odds, and it will continue to be that way. But yeah, shout out to them. I love them very much. My Great Dane Maverick, he is just a big goofball. I love him. And all my friends and family who support me in everything I do. I appreciate it. Shout out to you, Brandon. You tuned 2 weeks in a row, tuning in for the whole show.
Brandon.
Love the great commentary on the show and all the accurate things in terms of baseball and everything else. So appreciate you tuning in with us all night. Major shout out to Aldo Gandia, the head of the Ballroom, for everything he does, giving us this platform, promoting us and all that. And then last but not least, I'll give a shout out to Mike North and BB North. That was just BB's birthday. Happy belated birthday, BB. And then a huge shout out to Mike North. Lets me co-host. Somebody big just died with him. Trust me to produce and put that show together. And we have a ball doing it. So we just did OJ Simpson earlier this week. Big one. And then, of course,
I listened to it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man. And, of course, we have Ken Holtzman, Chicago Cubs southpaw, through two no-hitters for the Cubs coming up on Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central. Tune in. Don't miss that. It's going to be a lot of fun. But those are my shout-outs. Appreciate everybody. Like I said, a huge show coming up next week. Ken Smaller, the author of Last Comiskey, will be with us. You don't want to miss that. But we'll be back then talking all things White Sox. I don't know how many more wins we're going to go through. We didn't even talk about the schedule for the week because at this point, why?
L.
I'm going to go ahead and say take two wins again for the week, Vin.
I got zero.
Wow. All right, Vinny's. I got two. Vinny's got zero. I'm sure Zim, I'm going to say, we're going to put Zim at one because yep. Why not? So Zim takes one, Vinny takes zero, I take two. We'll talk about it next week. But for the South Burbs Hitmen, I am Joe Mandel. That's Vinny Parisi. And Steven Zim Zimmerman's under the weather, but we'll be back with us next week. We appreciate you hanging out with us all night. It's been a heck whole lot of fun. They may stink, and they do. They beyond stink. But we're going to root for them because they're our team.
They
bleed. As always, no matter what, Vinny, let's go White Sox. We'll see you guys next week. Adios, muchachos.